brought this with me out of my class in the school to prep you for the switch in your faith that you're going to make tonight. Apostolically, there's some barricades and strongholds that has to be moved, even though a lot of time we thought we were right. The segment talk about, before I stop at the message, apostles pull down stronghold, and that their assignment, and they've been kept away from their assignment, and now the Lord is bringing it back in. And you, 2 Corinthians 10:5, pull on them stronghold. I just want to read this to you so we can understand the shift. There's a strong shift we're going to make tonight. And I'm not holding things back for the crowd. The crowd is not going to catch it. It's people, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You understand that? The ways we have treated God in the church is wrong. And we got God on our schedule. I'm not talking to you, you're here. I'm not talking to you. And I could watch the difference between the one who dedicated and submitted and the one who are not. It referred to argument in the mind of men which keep them from the truth. Arguments in the mind of men which keep them from the truth. That's what that apostolic has to do, is tear down that argument. The teaching and preaching of apostolic or apostles destroy and demolish these arguments. These arguments are called strongholds, which apostolic ministries pulls down. They are demonic strongholds that keep people believing lies and hinder them from receiving the truth. Now watch this. When I was teaching my class, they are like castles and fortresses that are designed to keep the prisoner in and the truth out. Once these strongholds are demolished, people can see and receive the truth. And so apostolic ministry has an anointing to demolish these strongholds. Father, we thank you tonight as we go into this territory you're showing us, and that we have ears to hear and hearts to receive and mind to understand in the spirit what you're saying. We bless all who are here present all over the world online, that this will be a transitioning moment in the spirit. We thank you. We trust the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. You got your Bible?
Yes, sir.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going after one verse, but we're going to walk to that verse. In other words, we'll go to other verses to get to that verse. So you have to be listening as we go through the verses to get to this verse of what we're going to deal with. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, and the capture on this setting is harden not your heart in my Bible. Harden not your heart. I need open hearts tonight, because a lot of solutions going to come rapidly. But if your heart is locked down, you're not going to be able to make it. All right? So be open. If you don't understand the first part, just keep listening. It's going to open up to you. All right? Now, I'm talking to the whole body of Christ. This apostolic moment in the body of Christ. So harden not your heart. Keep your heart open. As we read, here in the 6th verse says, Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, it limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Okay? Some things you've been believing for a long time, and somebody come up and talk about preaching you something else, you close your ears on them. Verse 8 says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into this his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, it says, for the word of God is quick. See that?
Yes, sir.
And what?
Sharp.
And what?
Sharp.
Then any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and as the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All right, verse 14 now. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed where yet? Into the heaven. Now I'm going to make a statement. I want you a statement to hang with you a while. He's not at the cross. He's not at the grave. He's in heaven. Where should we be? Where should our prayers be? Where's all our answers? Seeing, verse 14, then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16 is a transitional spiritual activity in the church. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One more scripture and we'll sit down. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll give you a subject, a lot of introduction for you to see it and be able to understand it. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before. Now in verse 2, there's a shift in there in verse 2 that Jesus made, and you need to make that shift too. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right?
Yes, sir.
Who for the joy that was set before him, now look what he did, endured the cross, but he didn't stay there. Now, the church at large is still at the cross. And they're going to have to learn how to switch or go through the cross and end up at the throne of grace. It'll change your prayer. It'll change your anointing. It'll change your wisdom. It'll change your knowledge. It'll change your victory. When you start operating from an ownership position at the throne. Jesus said, come go with me. At the cross, he said, it is finished. And when it was finished, what he did? He left. He left the cross, went through the grave, didn't he? And then he was taken up and went back to heaven. seated at the right hand of the Father. Why are we not doing the greater works? We're not doing the greater work because we've been staggering for hundreds of years at the cross, not at the throne. Oh, I'm going to show it to you. You're going to be clear when I finish. And if you listen, your prayer life, your confession, everything you need changed, going to start changing. Instantly. It is a place that has been hidden from us. And the church somewhat been struggling with the old rugged cross. We got a lot of songs about that. You know that. And people get happy. Thank God for the cross. But the cross answered all the questions and left. Jesus, you see, went to the throne. I just ask you a question. How many times have you been to the throne of grace? He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Because the cross bought the right for us to go to the throne. You understand that? All right. Now, this second verse show us Jesus shifting. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. But he didn't say that. Look what the last part of what he said. So read it. That's where Jesus is at. Now, if you're sitting around the cross, talking about at the cross, I first saw the light, you saw the light. But the light gone. The light by the throne. The light have moved. You understand? Now, if you listen to me, sit down, because I'm going to give you a lot of introduction. If you listen to me, Revelation, a light going to invade your heart. And what you saw as a problem is not going to be a problem anymore. You're going to be too powerful for that. So the subject matter is training your faith to operate from the throne of grace. Not the cross, not the grave, not what he said to John so much, what he's going to say to you. Training your faith to operate from the throne of grace. Now here's an introduction. You need to hear. Once you learn how to set your faith in grace properly, you are resting your faith in the finished work of Christ. Finished work. What will happen here, your faith and finish going to become synonymous. In other words, your faith will begin to mean finish. So the little bumps in the road and things that I'm trying to tell you is not, you don't pay that no mind, because when I'm using faith properly, it is impossible for what I'm believing for not to happen. And the reason it's impossible, because it's already finished. See, now, we're talking about a new aspect here. We're talking about ownership faith. Grace produced ownership faith. So these things, what you're believing for is rightfully yours if it's lined up with the Word of God. Listen at this. Your faith becomes a taker of what is already yours. Your faith become a taker of what is already yours. Now, you see what a big difference that makes? Your faith become a taker, not a beggar. not just an asker, but your faith become a taker. In other words, all your divine rights will start functioning in your faith. Your faith is not at the cross. Your faith is at the throne, sitting with Jesus. See, that's why I said, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, but now at the right hand of the Father. So his position is no longer at the cross with blood coming out of him and suffering. No, he's sitting by the Father now. Well, your faith wants you to sit in the same place. I said your faith can enable you to sit in the same place. You're a child of God, right? Now the time has come for your faith, or for you to be a faith world shaker. Your lifestyle ought to shake the world. Your lifestyle should make people ask, who is your God? Where you go to church at? How you walk like that? How you be blessed like this? How you don't let the COVID bother you? All fake faith is over in your life tonight. Satan loves for us to operate in fake faith. And we think we got it all going on, but we're in the wrong position. And the church been held there for so long that it also seemed impossible to leave. But it's not impossible because Jesus left. Come and go with me. The real power, I want you to write this down. The real power of faith is wrapping its arm around you now. Your faith will be stronger. Your faith will last longer until the job is done. The only way I can say this is you being instructed how to operate in apostolic faith. You're being instructed, not Baptist. Oh, Lord. Not Church of God in Christ. No, apostolic faith. Ephesians 4:11 faith. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. That's where I'm trying to get you at. So this statement need to be there too, and then I'm going to start. Now is your time to release bold faith. Faith with blood finish backup. Faith with blood finish backup. Finish work faith. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. And take whatever notes you can out of this. I'm going to give you an insight before I read the verse. Having total victory in everything at all time. Thank you. You know I represent heaven, right? Well, let me read it again then. Having total victory, because you might think, I represent heaven. Having total victory in everything at all time. Because The victory is already yours. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always. So the next time that problem tells you it's not going to leave, you read this verse to it. But thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make his manifest the Savior of the knowledge by us in every place. So you got words like this. You got triumph and manifest. Triumphantly manifesting. Not trying to manifest. I'm going to go back over it. Triumph and manifest. Triumphantly manifested. Triumphantly manifested. Are you listening to me? Not trying to manifest. You got to stop trying to manifest because you already manifested. Your blessings are already, they are already manifested. You just got to get in place. And what I'm trying to do tonight is get you in that place where you don't have to go through all the rigmarole you've been going through. Step right on in. Come right on in. See, because in your mind and in your heart, you know you have a divine right to be there, and you know how to get there. You're operating in a throne faith. Not trying to manifest anymore. You're trying to manifest days are over because you are and manifesta. God is waiting to manifest through you over and over and over again. Manifesting the impossible to the natural, to the computer, to the calculator, but there's divine substance flowing through you that can call things that be not as though they were, and they got to show up. Man, you need to be enjoying yourself. You got to stop fighting all these little news media stuff, all that stuff. Man, you need to be walk in this. Walk with your apostle a few days. Walk in it, act like it's yours. In Galatians, turn to Galatians. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you another aspect of this thing now. I want you to catch a hold of it. Galatians chapter 2. Living a faith resurrected life on daily basis. A faith resurrected life on daily basis. Here in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. You see that? Yes, nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Christ, but yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see that? Watch what happened. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we're going to go to the next verse. But the next verse is going to reveal that we've been frustrating the grace of God. So, could it be that you and I sometime has been functioning in frustrated faith? If your faith accepts any type of failing, it is frustrated faith, and you're not in the right position. You're at the cross, but you're not at the throne. You're at the place where it was paid for, but you're not at the place where your ownership is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spirits of blessing in heavenly places. Not at the cross. The cross wasn't in no heavenly place. In heavenly place in Christ Jesus. So you're supposed to be living a faith resurrected life on a daily basis. The rest, R-E-S-T, of faith in a finished work. Finished faith. You ought to see faith at the finish line. Even if it looks like you got a long way to go, but you're looking at the finish line. You're aware of the fact that nothing can stop your faith. But you're not operating in just cross faith and just word faith. You operate, you let the word and the cross took you to your destiny. Before you die and go to heaven, you need to go there now. You need to know now. This is what it's going to cause to happen for you. Turn to 1 John 5. This is what it's going to cause to happen. I sure hope you catch this. This is what it's going to cause to happen for you. Lord, have mercy. 1 John 5. Now listen, baby. Listen. Living in the space of being a world overcomer. Say, I'm a world overcomer. Say it again. You're talking about what he did for you. He living on the inside of you, and you living on the inside of him. So whatever problem may show up, if you keep telling yourself, I'm a world overcomer, you will overcome that thing. Are you understanding me? Now, know tonight that you're not in a Sunday school class. I mean, we got hundreds of thousands, millions of people still at the cross. You're not doing Jesus no disfavor from leaving that cross and going with him. The cross paid for the throne. Can't you see Jesus sitting on the throne? And you sitting right beside him and elbow Jesus? Y'all see, y'all don't want to see it. Y'all so holy and sanctified. No, that's real life. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You're not going to get there physically. You got to go there spiritually. You got to see by faith. You got to believe it. You got to be led by the spirit. You got to be anointed. You got to have divine enlightenment. Not just excitement. You got to have enlightenment. Excitement when you get on the road and put you down, but enlightenment, keep a light on where you can keep going when things look like they're not going to work out. You know, I ask these questions and they think this is new territory. I've been in this for some years. This is new territory. I've been under all kinds of faith teachers for years and years and years. But nobody never transferred me to the throne. Come on, when I get to heaven, what am I going to do? What you going to do down here? So we're talking about living in the space of being a world overcomer. 1 John 5:4. Hallelujah. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You're a problem overcomer. Your stop sign overcome. Your stronghold overcome. Turn to James' epistle. I want you to see something here as we're making this switch. And you just grade on. Your faith going to start working greater. I'm telling you now. Yeah, your faith going to work greater. Stop looking at Jesus suffering. Jesus told me to tell you he ain't suffering no more. So come on up here with me. My goodness. Now, this type of faith, it will cause you to be stretching out in the wisdom of God on daily basis. Stretching out in the wisdom of God on daily basis. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men how? Liberally. You got your Bible open and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. But let him, 6 verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing waving, for he that waving is as the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, I'm going to say this, I'm going to put in the atmosphere, because I feel it in the anointing, but all of your tossing days, all I want you to do is when it comes, pause a minute and say, what did the apostle say that Wednesday night? Lady was talking to another lady. And the lady must have been telling her some problems yet. She said, you wasn't at church Sunday? That was a good question. Because if you here Sunday, you ain't got no question for no problem. You here tonight, you ain't had no question for no problem. You got the answer. You got to listen. You got to apply, baby. Now, listen very carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians, turn it, and then I'm going to tell you what the Lord laid on my heart to tell you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Reaping harvests that the world cannot reap. Reaping harvests that the world cannot reap. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, that's why you wonder why I'm teaching so much. And I got the boy I can teach. I got the other boy I can teach. I got a son here can teach. But right now I'm in a point of a switching. I'm switching them and you. But you can get some good teaching, but this is apostolic teaching. This is shoving some things off the road so you can walk faster. Now, I was talking to one of my sons in another state, and I shared with him about the difference of cross fate and throne fate. But I told him, I said, you can't preach that now, son. Let daddy water it a little bit first. Yeah, you got, see, I got this apostolic anointing on me, and you can't hurt my feeling. See, people get upset. You telling us that. So I told him, let me preach it 3 or 4 Sundays, then you preach it. Because they're going to be shocking to his people. It was shocking to me. I've been following God all these years. It was shocking to me. God said, your faith is not in the right place. I said, what? Now, he blessed me down the years, but he says it's time to go to a higher flow. Say, higher flow. All your sadness and madness going to leave you. I know you don't want everybody to know you got some sadness and madness. Just get that guy ain't saying nothing. But all your sadness and madness gonna leave you, because you're gonna begin to fly. And your problems did not come from God to train you. God don't train you with problems. God train you with scripture and teaching, so when the problem come up, you know how to handle it. Sure, got you in Corinthians, right? Reaping harvest that this world cannot reap. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it's written, I have not seen. See that? Neither nor ear heard. See that? Neither have entered in the heart of man. Are you listening? The things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God, in the 10th verse, has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what? Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my. Yes, sir. Oh, hallelujah. Every step is a step of abundance for the kingdom. You got John 10:10, Ephesians 3:29, Matthew 6:33. Every step is a step of abundance. You got to believe that. You got to know that. You got to rise up in the morning aware of that fact. Every step I take is going to be a step of abundance. Are you listening to me? You ain't cutting up enough. Every step I take gonna be a step of abundance. Now it happened to me every day. Turn to Romans 14 and write down in your note, knowing the higher power of the kingdom lifestyle. Knowing the higher power of the kingdom lifestyle. Romans 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the higher life, you see. And I was working on this outline, and the Lord told me, he says, knowing how to sit at my table of favor. Do you know how to sit? Just sit at the table of favor. Know it got to happen. Know it got to come. Know it got to manifest. Because of who child you are. He prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemy. Anoint your head with oil. Come on to the table. It's a table of favor in the midst of darkness and craziness. Psalm 23:1-5, you read that. Knowing how to sit at God's table of favor, I love it. Now I'm going to see how you're going to handle this. Turn to John 14, John's Gospel. We'll see how you're going to handle it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. The word was this. From, let me read the scripture first. John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see that? Now, look what he told me after that. Look what he told me to tell you tonight. Shout, because all gates are open for you now. Shout. Because all gates are open for you now. It is no satanic force can keep no gate closed on you after the night. Because you're a thrown faith worker. You got faith and grace mixed right. And it's already manifested in your name. Shout one more time. Turn to Acts 17 quickly. Acts 17, I'm going to close in a minute. Acts 17. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I sense your people receiving. Thank you, Lord. I know they're receiving online too. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Acts 17:28, and then I'll give you the insight when you're talking about it. Acts 17:28, for in him we live. Yeah, that's right. And move. That's right. And have our being. As certain also of your own poet have said, for we are also his offspring. In him we live. We move, and we have our being. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. I say, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. I say, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. I say, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Hallelujah. Let me give you something right now. Sit down. Write down to go with that statement. Secured in the presence of God at all times. In him we live. Secured in the presence of God at all times. No matter how it look, no matter how you feel, no matter what somebody else saying, no matter even the mistake you made, you making correction. The blood going to bring you out of it. Good God. Hallelujah. Secured in the presence of God at all times. And I'll give you two more of them to close. Romans 12, 1 through 3. Yielding to a threefold grace and faith anointing. A threefold grace and faith anointing that will handle the total man in the presence of God. Your body, your soul, your mind, and your faith life, your spirit. Romans 12, 1, 2, 3. You know, we usually concentrate on that first and second verse, Romans, turn there, but Romans 12, 3 is powerful. Because it's not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think. Get out of the think tank. And think soberly. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Your faith should be, your thinking should be faith thinking. But what Satan wants, do is give us fake thinking. act like it's not working. There's nothing from God cannot work. There's some things right now you're going through and going on in your life, and you think it's not working, but he's working it. Step by step, he's putting it in you to make sure you get it. That you won't have to go through the same thing the next time. Nobody else can shut Satan down in your life but you. I don't care how many people pray for you. I don't care how many people cry over you. You're the only one can shut Satan down. I didn't know that was the last point. 1 John 4:4. I didn't know that when I was saying this. Shutting down all failures in the world by a higher power. Shutting down all failures in the world by a higher power. 1 John 4:4. Stand up, let's read that together. You ready? Now read it with the concept and with the understanding of the things you've been taught tonight. You ready? Read. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them. For great is he. That is not a poem. That is a reality of your power that's going to work more effectively now, because Satan has tried to keep the church at the cross. Jesus wanted to be at the cross. You hear him say it's finished. Go with him to the grave. Go in the grave with him. Get up out of the grave. Leave the grave. Give some instruction. Then rapture back up to the Father and set in his rightful place and send a person to us called the Holy Spirit that would enable us to live the same kind of life now, even a greater life, because he said, the work that I do, shall you do also, even greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. But if you don't come to the Father with me, and tradition and religion and organization and denomination have set up levels and lock in those levels, a lot of times man-made levels. But with God, there is no level. So you got to keep the door open because he's always about to bring you somewhere else. See, now you didn't hear that poison. I want you to hear that poison. God is about to bring you somewhere else. Somewhere you thought you couldn't go. By trusting God, I have crossed so many impossible lines over the years. I mean, you just walk through them. And when you see you on the other side, but you got to spend time with him. Follow me? Now, your life supposed to come out like who you connected with. Now, if you can preach to me and nothing happened in your life after 14 years, I'm gone. It is real. My brother and sister, I close. It is real. What I taught you tonight is real. It came from the heart of God. It came from my heart. I'm doing it. I'm learning. I'm training. I'm developing more and more every day. You should not, as I close, you should not be in the same position. Yes, if you come in here with any sorrow, any worry, any gate you need to go through, any door you need to go through, all you got to do is sit down with these notes and talk to yourself and explain to yourself who you are. Explain to yourself who you are. Sit with the Holy Ghost. Yes. And let the Holy Ghost talk to you. Yes. Why he talking to you? He's going to be empowering you to make that next step. It's time to float and it's time to fly. The body of Christ. We got to float and fly. So this world system can see that our God we've been preaching about is the real God. And all this data you coming up with, data you coming up with, it can't stand up with the Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Thank God he's living on the inside of me.
Thank God he's living on the inside of me.
Thank God he knows everything.
Thank God he knows everything.
And he's willing to tell me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God.